Okay, guys, we gotta put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. This is it. This is the week. It is draft week, and we are delighted to welcome in our man, Brad Biggs. He's the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Score hotline. Biggs A!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we are all fired up because this is the last Bears Monday, and every Monday is a Bears Monday, where Caleb Williams will not be on the Bears. So we're trying to say goodbye to the past and look forward to the future, and Thursday night's the night. And really, there's no suspense about him, but we're wondering about the number 9 pick.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Draft week, and I like how you set it up. Is it just me, or does it feel like the regular season wrapped up about 9 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even kidding. Doesn't it feel like the last time you saw them on the field up in Green Bay was half an eternity ago? Because it feels that way to me. But that's in large part because of, I think, the high level of excitement there is for what the Bears can accomplish here, how they can hopefully transform the roster and the future of this team. Now, it's easy to say that is going to happen. We're going to have to wait to see these guys in uniform, see them perform. But I don't know that the level of excitement for what's happening at Hallis Hall and what the immediate future holds for the Bears could be any higher right now.
Largely because of that, Brad, have you ever covered a draft that carries any more significance than this one for the Bears?
You have to be careful having conversations like that because we all fall victim to recency bias, right? Where this is the last off season, it was the biggest off season in Bears history, right? And mm-hmm. Now. We're in that same spot, but simply looking at the draft capital they have and where they're at and what they can get done, this has got to be it, without a shadow of a doubt. But it's just you have to be careful, and not enough people are when they have conversations of, the biggest and the greatest and the most disappointing and the this and the that. But in this situation with them at 1-9, absolutely.
Yeah, I find it fascinating, Brad, as we look at this position that they're at. And I get it. They only have 4 picks because they've already used so many of them to help build this team. And they did a good job in the offseason of of addressing what they felt were their weaknesses. I just feel like if they did a good enough job in the offseason, then they should be able to stay at number nine and take whatever gift falls to them, because so many quarterbacks are going to be taken right after they get the first one off the board. And in other words, I personally don't really want to see him trade down. I'd like them to stay at the number nine spot and take whatever that gift is. Whatever player wasn't expected to be there, and there were, you know, we could rattle off five or six guys. I understand there's probably 15 or 16 blue players in the first round of this draft, and they could move down and still get one. But I want the guy. I want the multiplier. They talk a lot. They use that word. I want the guy that makes everyone else better.
And I think you can make a really strong case for that, because when you talk about the current state of the roster, where it's at, what the pluses and minuses are, where there's depth, where they're a little thin, I think one of the things that jumps out at you is what they've got a bunch of good players. They need more difference makers or multipliers or blues, whatever term you want to use. They need those elite guys that can tilt the field on Sundays. And so what's your best chance to get one of those guys? It's to fire your pick at nine. Shoot your shot. This is the guy that we had the highest grade on. Here's why we brought him in. This is what we like about him. And you do it. And so I agree. You can make a really strong case for that. Also understanding, guys, that they're not planning to be picking anywhere near number one or number nine a year from now. So if they're picking 18, 22, whatever, in 2025, you know, you can get a good football player for sure, but the idea of being able to get a blue there, that's going to involve an intersection of good fortune and good scouting and then high-quality development. So I'd have no problem with them staying at nine and passing on the opportunity to trade down.
People look to you for insight and direction, Brad, especially before a draft. So Sunday morning, the print edition of the Tribune, they see you write about Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas. And my first thought is, this seems like a bit of a reach, because they drafted two defensive tackles last year in Pickens and Dexter, and they still have pretty good surplus at that position. And if you're going to draft nine, maybe you need an edge rusher if you're going to go defense. What compelled you to write about Murphy at this point, and how realistic is it the Bears take him there?
Well, I think Murphy's very realistic for the Bears at number nine for a variety of reasons. You know, number one, yes, they used a second and third round pick on defensive tackles a year ago. Jervon Dexter, I don't think they necessarily thought he was a perfect fit as a three technique a year ago. And after seeing him play, he's a good football player, and I think he's going to get better. That's not really his game. Pickens flashed a little bit at times, but when you consider that that is the signature position in that defense, and you take a look at Ryan Poles' background in Kansas City, you know, what's the one thing that has really stood out to you about the Chiefs' defense over the last 5, 6, 7 years, besides, you know, the variety that the coordinator Steve Spagnuolo regularly brings to the table? I think it's Chris Jones, who's in the middle of that defense as a disruptive interior lineman. And Murphy fits the part, guys. He had the highest pressure rate of all Division 1A defensive tackles this past season. He's a clean prospect in terms of health. I think he played in 37 games for the Longhorns the last three seasons. There's no character issues involving Byron Murphy. Super athletic, twitched up. So what did they try to do? Free agency year one, they tried to sign Larry Ogunjobi for that position. That fell apart. We all know about that. They quickly pivoted to Justin Jones, gave him a lot of effort, good locker room guy, maybe a little bit of a square peg in a round hole as a three technique. So if you really want to figure that position out, if you don't have a huge grade on one of the edge rushers, I think you can make a strong case for it. And I was told, you know, late last week that there's a chance Murphy is the first defensive player off the board in this draft. I wrote that in the story.
Yeah, I enjoyed reading the story. I do think that when I look at them, I wonder why. To me, Murphy would be a trade-down player. And the same thing maybe with some of the defensive ends, frankly, some of the edge guys. Like I said, there are, you know, 15, 16 deep. I don't know how far they can go down. But if they are in a draft and they decide they've got to get an edge guy, then I would ask them, why didn't you do that in the offseason? Why didn't you – there are a lot of guys moving around, a lot of – you know, why didn't you invest some money in that? I just want them to be able to take whomever it is that falls to them, because there will be a player falling.
Yeah, the edge market wasn't great in free agency. I don't think they had any interest in getting into the, you know, recycled veteran near in the end like they did a year ago with Yannick Ngakoue after the start of training camp. So I would imagine they get some type of edge in this draft, whether it's round one or later, with some guy that's got some traits that sort of fit what profiles in their defense. I think that's a possibility. But, maybe Murphy's available with just a slight trade down. You know, what we don't have any idea about right now, and we probably, you know, won't find out after the fact, is Where would there be interest in a possible trade down? You know, or is there someone want to come before you even get to the teens? You know, are we 11 and 12 interested? Are you in the teens? And then what's the offer? So I think it would be very interesting and a little outside the box if they traded down closer to 20, just because, as we discussed, the opportunity to get a guy that you feel has an opportunity to be a multiplier for you. I get it. Maybe you recoup some picks later on. You could address some other positions, but are you going for quantity here? Or are you going for the best quality you can get?
Great debate. And I think that's why many people expect the Bears to stay at 9. I think we could understand a trade down, maybe no lower than 15, but Brad, the one bold move would be to move up. If four quarterbacks go off the board and you're sitting there and looking at the fifth pick and you think, what would it take to get Marvin Harrison Jr. to Chicago? That's a possibility that I wonder if they're discussing. I think they probably are, because they have to consider all scenarios. But what do you think about that, if they're on the clock and it's a fifth pick and Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board?
Boy, I think that's I think that would be really cost prohibitive, David. I think you'd have to give up an awful lot to move from 9 to 5. I mean, they'd have to want your first round pick next year, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know, and if I don't think that there would be a discrepancy in grades between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rome Odunze to make that move. Maybe I'm wrong, but that to me would be a bit of a stretch. Then you're already looking ahead to 2025 without a first round pick. I think you kind of stay put. You know, they've made some big swings via other avenues in terms of trades, free agency, bringing in some big-time players. They need to get some big-time players in through the draft without using up future draft capital, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I'm interested in your opinion of using future draft capital. I'm interested in their opinion of it because they do have two second-round picks. And, I mean, you got to ask yourself one question. If they pull off what they should be getting out of this draft, where are they going to be drafted next year? Are we talking about, you got to protect the 22nd, the 25th pick in a draft, as opposed to, well, they're going to be back in the top 10?
Yeah, that's a huge debate. And you wonder if Seattle's calling them or Denver. Just pick your team, invent your team. If they're calling, those teams have got to be looking at it saying, or if the Chargers are involved, if the Bears are trying to trade up, they got to be looking at it saying, where do we guess the range is for this team picking next year? Because I think you're talking about a range, and you know how wide that range is. I would guess you're probably dividing the draft into thirds, maybe, or fourths. You know, going up in this 8-pick range or something, because you're trying to look at the roster. You're sort of looking at the schedule, but they shouldn't be in the top 10 next year. This should be a competitive football team that's ready to, I mean, with seven playoff teams, you ought to be able to challenge for the back end of that. It's like playing poker with extra wild cards, guys. So I like the direction they're headed. I'm fascinated to see how this unfolds, not just Thursday, but the rest of the weekend, because this is an opportunity for them to really put this franchise in a new light. But they've got to hit on the picks, and then they've got to do the other part that we kind of overlook, because you're gonna get to Sunday or Saturday night, and people are going to say, this team won the draft, this team lost the draft, et cetera, et cetera. No, nobody won or lost anything. The Lions draft was kind of panned by some people last year, and they killed it. You know, when you talk about Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell and Sam LaPorta, you got to go out on the field. You've got to get to the part that's just as important as the scouting element, which has been going on forever for this class, and that's the development. It's draft and development. You get them in the building. You get them into your system. You find out what their strengths are, what they need work on, and you try to play to their strengths and improve their weaknesses.
So, Brad, quickly, I don't see there's a scenario where we come in Friday morning and you say, boy, I can't believe the Bears did that. And I think that's what makes this draft almost different than any of the others that we've been around. But is there something that you have in the back of your mind you think, well, boy, if the Bears do this, they're going to lose the plot? I don't see what that scenario is. Do you?
Is it? That's hard. That's hard for me. Like the one, you're asking, is there the one thing that you'd be like, huh, boy, that, like, I've gotten repeated questions about Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, who's super, super talented. You know, looks like he's the kind of guy that's going to have a fantastic NFL career. Well, if you bring in Brock Bowers, you've already got Cole Kmet, who you've paid, right? And they're kind of different tight ends, different skill sets. But you just bought Gerald Everett this offseason on a 2-year deal. Could they use Bowers? Could he make him better? Yes. Did they pour an unbelievable amount of money into Gerald Everett? No. But I think when you look at the other positions in terms of wide receiver, offensive tackle, edge, we talked about Byron Murphy. That's where maybe the Bowers pick, and I'd be like, huh. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Biggs, we'll let you go. I'm just curious. Right now, they're third in the division, yeah? Is there any way we're going to come in here on Friday morning and say, well, they just moved into second or first?
Oh, man. That's – no, they got to do that on the field. They got to do that on the field because, you know, we all know the Packers issue and the Lions – the Lions were a really good football team last year, guys. Mm. They were really good. They can position themselves to become a mover in the division. if they do well in the draft.
Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys. More fun later this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll be talking the whole time.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And right now, you can have some fun at the Luke Bryan concert. Right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. And you can win a pair of tickets to see Luke Bryan with special guests Bailey Zimmerman, Tracy Lawrence, Chase Beckham, August 25th. Wrigley Field tickets at Cubs.com/Luke Bryan.
Yeah, and we want to remind you to tune in tonight from 6 to 9. Mark Grody will be here with Anthony Herron, and they will bring you the Scorers Draft Preview Show discussing all angles of the upcoming draft for the Bears. Draft coverage on the Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. 312-644-6767. We're going to keep this conversation going.
And we also want to hear from what Caleb Williams said on the pivot.
We've got to get to that audio. You're going to love hearing this. Mully and Haw on the Score.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right. What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Love LA. LA was great. Now that I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12, I want a place that loves ball. You know, that's all I've heard about Chicago so far, which is exciting for me because LA was great, but there is probably double digits of teams here. And so, I mean, it's a big pool of, you know, so you have to be winning championships. You have to be playoffs every year to have, you know, the fans and things like that show up. And so one thing, you know, if Chicago's a place that I've heard that they love ball, which is really exciting for me and something that I'm looking forward to and embracing.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Caleb Williams, and he was on a podcast talking about his hopes and dreams and plans for the future.
Yeah, the pivot with Ryan Clark. Great interview. Yep. Worth your time. I love the ambition. I love the energy and enthusiasm for Chicago and all that he said. I would just, like, 20 years is okay. Stay away from numbers. Who's gonna last 20 years?
He's going to last 20 years.
You'll take 5 to 8 to 10.
No. You need at least
championships.
10.
Everyone makes this mistake. 8 championships. You know what? You win one in Chicago, you're a legend, okay? Commit long term, win a Super Bowl, and then let's talk about what you want next. Do that and you're good.
But
you're good.
Doesn't he have to last more than 5 years? 5 years is your rookie deal. If he's going to get paid, if he's going to be good, he's going to get a second contract.
I don't want anybody coming in to any new job at 22 years old and thinking about the next 20 years of my life, I have to do this. That's a huge burden. Just think small increments at a time. Yeah, if he's 5 and out, you're disappointed. That's just a 5 to 8, though. You never know with injuries. 20 years, who lasts 20 years? Really?
Tom?
Yes, I know. So
that's what he's talking about.
Being aspirations. I love player. The ambition, but I don't want to hold him to that. Because then it's like, oh, if you only won 3 Super Bowls, you said you were going to win 8. If he lasts 10 years, what happened to 20?
If he leaves here after 17 years, he's a bum.
See, you would be that guy.
I would not
you would be
that
guy.
If he promises 20, let's go.
I love the passion for the place that he's coming to. And he says he likes this about Chicago, that they are into it. They love ball there.
And, oh, yeah.
And anybody who lives here understands what he's talking about. And I think he has no idea. He may have an inkling, but I'm not sure he has any idea exactly what he's getting into when he arrives here Friday morning, maybe to meet the Bears media. This is a place that is going to adore him if he wins.
And I'm with you. You know, you want to be great. Just all you got to do is be good to win, and you just want to win. He doesn't just want to win. And he doesn't just want to be great. He wants to win championships.
He does. And he says that he can help the Bears do that through his care.
If you are the number one pick, Keenan Allen,
yeah,
who is now a Chicago Bear, was at your pro day.
Yeah.
DJ Moore played extremely well last year. Cole Kmet. Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears have tried, at least and to me, succeeded in making Chicago a place that has the requisite pieces.
Yep.
To have a young quarterback be successful.
Yep.
If that is the case, if and when, I think when, we hear Caleb Williams' name called first, how does he help Chicago win its first championship since 1985?
85 Bears. One is through my care, bringing the community and showing my care for all 3 levels of, for myself, of ball, for my teammates, and then for the community that makes game days, the game,
yep,
everything, the city lively and fun and enjoyable and all of that. And that's kind of three things is care. Care goes a long way. Places that love football, places that care about football, places that have the same, you know, goals and aspirations in mind.
Care.
He's going to care.
Yeah, and don't think that's not
and take care.
Intentional. His name of his foundation, the Caleb Cares Foundation.
He also says he's going to lead the Bears to a Super Bowl. That's the stuff that you really want to hear, don't you? Don't you want to hear him say that?
Of course.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
# Caleb Cares. Let's get it trending.
Caleb does care, and I think people are going to.
We're
going to
find out.
Caleb does care. They're not going to find out. We're definitely going to. We already know that. You're not questioning that. Right, just because he hasn't said that.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not all in.
I have no choice. I have no choice.
That's
but
a
this
no.
is a lot of. There's a lot. There's a lot that goes into this.
Not at all.
I'm actually more worried. Are the Bears all in?
Of course they are.
Okay, we're gonna find out at number 9.
How? No.
We're gonna find out at number 9. If they do anything but help him out on offense, then I'm not sure they're all in.
Well, I mean, again, I think that helping him out by limiting the number of points needed to win a game could be considered another way of helping him out.
Sure.
If you get your defense to a point where, you know, you don't have to score 30 a game in order to win. And
Austin.
The defense is pretty good right now. I don't get frustrated.
No, I'm rubbing my temples.
I know you are.
I'm sorry.
You didn't like that answer.
David, I'm not suggesting they trade the pick. I'm not suggesting they draft somebody else.
I just want to remind you that, and again.
About focus on getting a second contract instead of focusing on 20 years and chasing Tom Brady.
Here's the thing. There's never been a quarterback drafted first overall, coming into a situation that is any more conducive to winning, the way the Bears have created this situation, this is a warm nest for him to come into. I don't know that that says or screams to me or even suggests that the Bears aren't all in. They are definitely all in. They started planning for this when they traded for Montez Sweat. They started doing this when they traded for Keenan Allen. This is, I think, strategic. The free agent approach was related to the idea of Caleb Williams, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they spent their off season, and they, you know, that bringing in Ryan Bates again. I'm not sure that you had to use a draft pick to get him, or to get that player is what I'm saying. But they brought in two potential centers. They brought in another wide receiver, and not just another wide receiver. Keenan Allen is more than that. He's a third down chain mover. He is the kind of guy, you know, he's almost like a tight end. He's almost like a perfect matchup out of the slot to get you third downs. And that moves the chains and keeps the quarterback on the field. I mean, the tight end is the best friend of the quarterback. This is going to be another best friend. This is going to be, and they improved the tight end position too, because they brought in a guy that the offensive coordinator has worked with before. They got a new offensive coordinator. They got a whole new offensive coaching staff.
They have done for Caleb Williams already what they neglected to do for previous quarterbacks who were considered franchise-type quarterbacks.
Yep.
This is more infrastructure and more weaponry than Jay Cutler. Well, I don't want to say Jay Cutler. I will stay away from that one. But Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields, they have created a situation that's much better than those were. And now it's up to him.
Let's talk about Cutler for a second.
Okay.
Because – you know, Cutler came in here. He was as physically talented as any quarterback the Bears have had, maybe ever. Honestly, that good.
That's not an exaggeration.
No.
Right.
But he did not possess the intangibles necessary for success at the position.
Okay.
In other words, he didn't kind of relate with his teammates in a fashion that was going to help them continuously win. He gave the ball away.
He wasn't a multiplier.
He was
a subtractor.
He cared about himself and his numbers, and he believed in himself. And there were times where he just threw the ball into places where you just sat there like, how can a guy be this good and be that bad?
Okay. So you want to say,
so I'm saying,
ask how is this different?
Well, I'm saying okay, so we got that guy. Then you talk about, and I think both things apply to Mitch and to Justin Fields. You're talking about a couple of guys that the game didn't transition in their head to a point where they could run the offense.
They didn't process
they
quickly
didn't
enough.
Process
I agree with
what
that.
Was going
I
on in the same fashion that you need.
I would say that Caleb Williams is a step ahead of all of those examples in a couple of different ways. First, with the Cutler comparison. Jay Cutler, for whatever physical traits he had, maturity-wise, I think we saw his personality wasn't the leadership type. He wasn't – maybe he grew into that role better. But, Mully, this is somebody who came from Vanderbilt. He came from a small town in Indiana. I'm not going to disparage that,
yes.
But I think that when you talk about coming into the fishbowl that is the Chicago Bear quarterback, where you have to live and have everything scrutinized, he wasn't ready for that or equipped for it.
But, I mean, he had played in Denver. He had experience.
But he played with Mike Shanahan, and things changed once he left.
He was a 26-year-old Pro Bowler when he showed up here, and you never really saw that.
I just don't think he ever had the foundation to handle that kind of success, and we saw that in Chicago. Caleb Williams, however, is the first wave of NIL quarterbacks coming into the league. He's already a professional. He's lived and operated in L.A., which, you know, at USC is kind of like a professional sports enterprise in that market. He came from Oklahoma, which was a big-time football program.
Yeah.
You can hear it in his voice. He's much smoother than I think we give him credit for by suggesting he's immature.
He shows up with $10 million in the bank.
So he's not really comparable to anyone else who's ever started this. And when you see him on the field, this is where the difference is between Mitch and Justin Fields. You see him processing things at a high rate. You see him making decisions he's better off script than on almost.
Yeah.
And I do think that maybe that is a question he still has to answer at the NFL level, processing quickly. Every rookie quarterback does. But I don't think that he comes in with the same sort of uncertainty that we had with Mitch about his ability to elevate to that next level because he came from North Carolina, or with Justin Fields, the questions that surrounded him as an NFL quarterback.
So they helped their offensive line in the offseason. They brought in a new running back to give them more explosive plays, a guy that can get to the outside. They brought in another wide receiver who is a third down machine. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking they've done a lot to put the quarterback in a good position. It's going to come down to how good is their new offensive coordinator at his job. Is Shane Waldron able to take his system and match it to the quarterback?
I like this because you can ask that question and you don't know the answer because it's incumbent upon him to make sure that it's about the player, not the scheme. And with Shane Waldron, this is what is exciting about getting Caleb Williams into the fold. The scheme has got to be about his talents. His talents don't have to fit into the scheme. The Bears did it wrong with Justin Fields. They did Justin Fields wrong by forcing that issue. Luke Getsy never embraced all that Justin Fields represented or was capable of accomplishing. You can't make that mistake again as an organization. And that's the fear because we've seen it happen too many times. But I think if Shane Waldron is smart, common sense will prevail, and he'll build his scheme around the skill set of this quarterback.
All right, we're going to talk to our colleagues. Is it Lawrence and Layla will be with us next. We'll have a chance to chat over some of the happenings of the world with them. Maybe, you know, Mike Jordan talked. I mean, they won a car race, and he was there, and it was nice. It was just nice to hear his voice. We don't hear from Mike very often, but he was very pleased as a winning car racing owner. You know, he grew up in North Carolina. They love that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm saying Brad Daugherty is doing the play-by-play on some of this stuff when he was here in Chicago. He likes the car
Maybe
stuff.
Jordan could come to the NASCAR race in Chicago.
Shouldn't he?
Yeah, it's Chicago.
It's Chicago, yeah.
So probably not.
Probably not enough. He definitely, it's not at the United Center.
No, it's not.
He doesn't like going there. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.